Welcome to all of you who are worshiping with us this evening, especially those of you who are visiting. If you could please sign in on the red register pad at the end of your pew and pass it to the others in your pew, finally returning it to the center aisle, we would very much appreciate it. At this time, would you please stand and join me in saying our call to worship? The light has burst forth. Rays of sparkling, glittering light have shattered the darkness.
Jesus Christ is born.
This is the prophesied event. The Messiah has come.
Nothing will ever be the same.
This child has been born for us and to us. He is God's gracious gift.
Let us stand upon his arrival. Let us celebration begin.
As we come to know him, we come to know God.
We can in his name speak truth to the world.
Amazing Counselor, strong God.
Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
A new beginning has come.
He brings peace and justice for all peoples.
God's righteousness has entered the human fray.
God's kingdom is on our grave.
The darkness will never again obscure the light.
Jesus Christ is born.
Please remain standing and follow along as we recite our opening prayer together.
Shine into our hearts, eternal light. Illumine us with the radiance of your glory. Banish our fear and dispel our darkness, that we may trust you wholeheartedly and offer ourselves gladly in your service. Quiet us on this holy night, that we may experience the miracle of the incarnation of the new. God becoming human, love taking on hate, weakness overcoming the powers of this world. May we see in the tiny face of this newborn the gift of the ages being offered to us. Life with you, life without end, life that is love, peace.
Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, number 234, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
first scripture reading tonight comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Through the night to free us from Our scripture lessons continue with a reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be holy. He will be called Son of God."
next scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
On this night.
The story in Luke continues. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the shepherds were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger."
Turn to Luke's Gospel again for chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now I would ask that you please stand as we sing our hymn number 238, "Angels We Have Heard on High." Please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
we sing with the angels to celebrate the tremendous gift of your Son, Jesus. We rejoice with gladness. You give us wonderful joy and peace in our Savior. May we exalt in your goodness with the exhilaration of children opening presents. As we bring our offerings, we ask that our lives would reflect your joy and generosity. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time, please remain standing as we sing hymn 217, Away in a Manger.
Heading, A Light is Shared, as we respond to the Word of God. There was no room at the inn for Mary and Joseph. Is there room in our hearts for God's salvation? There was amazement in the fields at the angels' news. Is there amazement in our hearts for God's salvation? There was joy in Mary's heart as she beheld her son. Is there joy in our hearts for God's salvation? Last year, George, I believe, a string broke, right? And at the last minute, he had to cancel. So what a treat that was this year. We continue our readings with reading from the Old Testament from Isaiah, from chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. The Lord has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of all these words of Scripture for us this night. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this wonderful evening of Christmas Eve, we pray now that our hearts, our minds and spirits might be open and receptive, O God, to you, to this holy child of Bethlehem. Give us, O God, a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Did we set a record high today, temperature-wise? No. Was it close? 3 degrees. Off. So how many of you, I had a rough time when I left here to go home this afternoon for lunch. I just thought, this is crazy. Christmas Eve and it's what, 60 some degrees. How many prefer it were colder? How many like this warmth? Ah, the warm's overruled. We even talked at our house last night about pitching tents and sleeping out tonight. It may never happen again to be this warm on Christmas Eve. Things don't always go as we plan, sometimes better, sometimes worse. When the first pope authorized December 25th, to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ in 353 A.D. I'll bet he never imagined what it would be like today. When Professor Charles Follen lit candles on the first Christmas tree in America in 1832, who would have ever thought that the decorations would have become as elaborate as they are today? So you have a big announcement to make. How are you going to do it? Lights and signs in the front yard? Cards and letters sent out the old-fashioned way with snail mail? That's a classic way. Maybe you'll send an Evite or a save the date notice through surveymonkey.com. You could post the announcement on social media sites to your online list of friends, but you might miss Grandma and Uncle Steve, who are technologically slow. You could rent a billboard, send out flyers, get one of those new electronic billboards and flash your message scrolling through. So if you're God and you have a huge announcement to make, the best announcement that the world has ever heard, how are you going to get that point across? We gather together tonight once again to hear words spoken through the words of the prophets, spoken through the angels. We've come to hear the announcement of the birth of a little child, a little baby in a manger. Sometimes, however, we miss the message that the announcement isn't so much about his coming, but rather it's the fact that he is the announcement. John writes in his gospel that Jesus is the Word. The Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. The message is the messenger. When we look at the scriptures on Christmas Eve, we see that God began posting the big announcement before it actually happened. People tell us that it really takes us hearing something six times before we actually hear it. And if that's the case, then God did a pretty good job on getting the word out that his son was coming to the world. As the Isaiah reading reveals, God started announcing the birth of Jesus Christ to the world some 600 years before it happened. Talk about a save the date. It's clear that the big announcement God is making to the people who are in exile in Isaiah chapter 52, that it's coming, these words are coming straight from the top. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. Now, God chooses a variety of spokespeople throughout Scripture. Prophets, angels, shepherds, just to name a few. But their message is always constant, consistent, commissioned by God alone. In this case, the messenger who makes the announcement, at least in Isaiah, may be Isaiah himself, who was commissioned by God to share the message with God's people who were in exile. Now, when we read this passage on Christmas Eve, we then read it through the eyes of Jesus Christ, God's perfect messenger. The New Testament reveals that Jesus is one completely accurate, completely worthy, and completely consistent spokesperson for God who takes Israel's message of hope and its mission of suffering. He takes it all upon himself and carries this message, Jesus does, all the way then to the cross. You see, my friends, the good news about this baby in the manger is not just that this baby is God's messenger, but the good news is that this child is God in person. The one who brings the message is also the one who will make it a reality. In verse 10, Isaiah tells us that the Lord has bared his holy arm to bring the salvation of our God to reality. That's really another way of saying that God has rolled up the sleeve on the arm and has gotten his hands dirty among us and is going to do the work himself. God's message will not just be spoken. It will become alive in the very one who is sent, who is born both fully human and fully divine. Those that are engaged in professional announcements, they tell us that our messages should be able to be boiled down to just three key messages to keep it simple. Well, Isaiah does that by offering three key messages to the people in exile. Isaiah talks about peace, about good news, and about salvation. The announcement of peace was vital for the people in exile who were torn apart by war and being held in captivity. The announcement of good news came to them as a healing salve, a healing balm for the people who had endured nothing but bad news for so long. And salvation meant that God would once again reign over the people of God, which was the ultimate hope for these individuals who had been ruled by so many tyrants, like the ones who took them away from their promised land. When Jesus, God's messenger, was born, those key messages became good news then for the whole world. Notice that the message of Jesus' announcement that the angels gave in that dazzling light to the shepherds, and then those angels were joined together with a multitude of heavenly hosts that they shared with those shepherds in that field on that first night. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom God favors. For I am bringing you good news of a great joy to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Not only were these key words about Jesus, but they become the very message of Jesus himself as he lives and grows and becomes the proclamation to the world. Oh, Jesus taught his disciples that they were to offer peace to all those they met on the road. And his first message gathered the disciples after his resurrection. The first words to them were, "Peace I give to you." And of course, Jesus preached the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God, which was the announcement that God's salvation had come to the world. And we know that Jesus Christ was the work of salvation through his ministry of healing, the casting out of demons by loving and interacting with those that were marginal in society. The messenger was and is the message. The big announcement about his birth was not just a one-time thing. It is also an announcement that Jesus commissioned his followers to proclaim and to live out in their lives every single day. Today we live in a world where peace sometimes seems impossible. Sometimes I cringe on Sunday mornings when I'm having my breakfast, whether or not I even want to turn on the TV to see what has happened overnight that needs to be prayed about. Peace sometimes seems impossible. Given the images of violence that we're bombarded with every day, there seems to be very little good news. And God's reign and rule seems like a very distant dream. My friends, the coming of Jesus Christ, the celebration tonight, reminds us that God's message of peace, good news, and salvation isn't something that is just hoped for. It's something that you and I are to work for as well. God came in person, in the presence of a little child, to do the work that needs to be done and continues to work through persons like us, to make God's kingdom a reality on earth just as it is in heaven. We are to live and proclaim the peace of Christ wherever we go. We are to share the good news of Christ's kingdom with anyone who will listen. And we are to live as though God's rule and reign have already been realized and are permanently established here on earth. When we do these things, we will be the message and the messenger as well. The greatest announcement in history was made to a bunch of shepherds in a nowhere place. And the announcement, a precious little child born in a stable, a child born to you and to me. God has spoken to us through this child, Jesus Christ. And there is no bigger announcement than this. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your announcement of love, that unto us a child is born, a son is given, and he offers peace and good news and salvation not only for us but for the whole world. Oh God, we pray that we will take your message as your messengers into the world. For this, oh God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. We come now to this wonderful time in the life of the service, the lighting of the candles. I want to remind you to be cautious. The lit candle stays upright. The unlit candle can be tipped. We will sing together. You're going to play a couple times through until all of us get our candles lit, and then we will sing together this wonderful hymn 239, the wonderful carol, Silent Night.
Let us stand and sing Joy to the World, 246.